Welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. And here is your host, Ryan Mack.
Welcome to the Payment Journal podcast. And for those who are regular listeners, we hope you like the new intro that we built out. And I would like to remind all of our listeners that you can access the Payment Journal podcast via iTunes, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, and other podcast platforms as well. Now, on today's episode, we're going to be talking about the rise of the usage of mobile wallets and how financial institutions can prepare for this growth in consumer behavior trend. So joining me today to discuss this topic is Tina Giorgio, who is the CEO and founder of ICBA Bankcard, and Pete Revel, who is the Director of Primary Data Services at Mercator Advisor Group. Now, during this conversation, Peter is going to be diving into the current trends Mercator is seeing in the marketplace around mobile wallet and mobile payment usage. And as well, we're also going to be taking a look at where mobile wallets should fit into financial institutions' 2020 strategic planning. So without any further delay, let's start the show. So Tina and Peter, thank you so much for joining me on today's episode. So now to kick things off, Peter, we've got a great chart provided to us by Mercator Advisor Group here that's taking a look at the usage of mobile devices to pay for goods and services in 2019. So I'm hoping that perhaps you could break down that chart and graph for us.
Sure. Let me just kind of talk about mobile payments in general and mobile wallets, just to give us a little context for what's going on. A new eMarketer number came out, and it said that U.S. mobile payment market has increased 41% from about $70 billion in 2018 to just about $100 billion in 2019. Further, that number is expected to jump to around $220 billion by 2023. If you do the math, that's more than a 2x increase in volume from 2019. And going back, I've worked in the mobile payments and the mobile wallet world since around 2011. And as such, I hear pundits telling us every year that this was going to be the year of the digital wallet, and it never came true. Some of the things that held consumers back in the adoption of mobile wallets was the understanding that there was a true benefit and realizing that consumers have to change the way they do things. So there's this consumer behavior modification that's necessary for them to see the value in using their phone to pay for things over just taking their card out of their wallet. Secondly, this was a new technology that involves people's money. And so you have to break through that trust barrier that is involved anytime there's a new financial services product. People need to understand the technology, understand what it does, and then develop a trust that their money is safe when they use this technology. There's also an issue of a true understanding of the availability. When all the noise and conversation came out about mobile wallets, everybody thought if they had an Apple, they could use it. But the truth was, in the early days, you had to have the right phone, you had to have the right issuer, and even within the right issuer, you had to have the right portfolio. And there was some confusion around that, and consumers didn't really know how to figure that whole thing out. Secondly, despite the move to EMV, where many retailers decided to also enable NFC, there was spotty coverage for mobile payments. And I can speak from experience on that, being somebody who likes to use mobile wallet as much as I possibly can. But I think that we're really on the precipice right now. Times are changing, comfort level is increasing, more portfolios are being opened up to mobile wallets, terminals are increasing in as far as availability. It's not just the big merchants anymore. Smaller merchants are accepting the likes of all the different mobile payment applications. So I think we're really at a great time for mobile payments right now. Further, so as we look at the graph, the one thing we can see is that across the board, people are starting to use mobile payments more and more, not just online, but also in the store. If we look back at 2016, when the numbers were higher than 2017 and 18, people were still exploring mobile apps. They got a little discouraged in 2017 and 18, but 2019, as the eMarketer numbers showed us, with a 41% growth, people are really starting to take up mobile wallets. And I would estimate that these numbers are going to continue to increase.
Excellent. Thank you, Peter, for that overview there. Certainly very enlightening in terms of just the overall market trends there. But now, Tina, based upon the information that Peter just provided us there, why is it important for community banks to be aware of this rise of mobile wallets?
I don't think it's just about community banks being aware of the rise of wallets. I think it's about community banks adopting the wallets. We had a big push a couple of years ago to enable the wallets for all of our clients, and we see pretty good results there. We moved into Tap after that and saw good results there. But this phenomenon of digital wallets goes, I think, beyond the device wallets and gets more into the personal wallet. So think of it as I have a banking app on my phone. What we're driving for is a payments app on my phone where that becomes my wallet of choice for all things payments. And I don't think it's when you look at the chart, I don't think it's a big stretch to get from, for example, a retailer mobile app or your universal wallet, you know, the Apples, the Googles, to your own bank branded wallet. And that's the direction that we're going for community banks.
I think that's a great point. And I think that particularly as we see some of the people kind of losing their trust in the big tech companies, there's a really great opportunity for banks to step in and take over some of that space and some of that market share.
Yeah, it's no surprise. Community banks are always a trusted source for their customers and their communities. So anytime that we can deliver features, functions, and capabilities that are on par with the device manufacturers, I think that there's a tremendous opportunity to shift market share there.
Yeah, no, and I certainly think it's interesting, right, that you brought up the whole trust factor, right? And it kind of is that with some of these big tech companies that the trust factor isn't really there, but the community banks hold that. But I think kind of where the gap is that users have gotten really used to kind of that those creature comforts and kind of that functionality that a lot of these tech companies have built, and they go, okay, well, this works this way and it has a great user experience, and I want that same experience with my mobile wallet, but I, from a trust factor, I'd rather that be with my bank than with a large tech player. But we've got to work on essentially getting those creature features essentially into that app there. Would you say that's kind of true, that's really where the gap is, and that's what it is that you're looking to bring to community banks?
Yeah, I would say that's where the gap historically has been, and that's the space that we are moving into on behalf of our community bank clients, to be able to support that wallet experience that they've come to know, whether it's provisioning the card into the wallet in a seamless fashion, or it's managing my spending or tracking where I did my transaction or managing my alerts. I think that's all expected today from a client perspective, and it's something that we're positioned to deliver to market.
Yeah, I can't emphasize enough the whole idea of the user experience, or UX as people in the business like to call it. But, you know, I think that where the opportunity really lies is to understand the community bank customer and to design the product specifically for the community bank customer in such a way that you're providing the right features and functionality, but not overdoing it. There's a real problem in the financial services app development world where they find all these great new features, functionality, bells, whistles that they can put into these apps, and it causes a significant amount of confusion for the customers, and they kind of develop, I guess, what you call the choice paralysis, and really have too many options, too many ways of doing things, and it gets overwhelming.
Yeah, I think it depends on the client too. I look at my kids' phones and they're swiping through four screens of apps, and that's overwhelming to me, but to them it's just a way of life. So I think that your point's well taken. it's not a build it and they'll come mentality that community banks take. It is a what does my customer want and how do I deliver it to them in the way they want it delivered.
Exactly.
You know, Tina, you had mentioned in terms of your organization making some moves. So let's actually talk about some of those moves here. So it was recently announced that ICBA BankCard card was partnering with OnDot, which we've actually had on an episode of the Payments Journal podcast as well. So I'm curious if you can explain what this partnership means for your organization.
Sure. So as you mentioned, we have partnered with OnDot. OnDot was originally the card controls company that did the features to turn the card on and off and do location services, those types of things. Fourth quarter of last year, OnDot launched the card app solution, which has taken your card controls and put it on steroids. So we started talking about this concept last spring, and we have come to a partnership agreement where our bank clients will have access to the card app that OnDot has built, and we'll be able to white label it for their bank, and it'll have card controls, it'll have spending insights so they can track their spending by categories, card on file management for their different, as you say, like the Ubers of the world, and they can do payment transactions at the point of sale or in-app, online, digital provisioning of the card directly into the wallets, and in the future, the whole onboarding experience where I can apply and have immediate access and use of the card. It's a pretty robust system from start to finish, from the application process all the way through transacting, bill payment, all of it.
Well, that's fantastic. I mean, to integrate everything into one simple, easy-to-use, great UX CX kind of app is I think a valuable tool for people who are using community banks or any banks at all.
Yeah, we think that this is definitely going to be a competitive differentiator for our community banks.
All right. So now the last question that I have here before we wrap things up is really, so community banks that have kind of said, yes, you know what, we acknowledge that we need to get into this mobile wallet space here, but what are kind of the stepping stones that they should take in the approach and the strategy that they should take when considering mobile wallets?
So mobile wallets are part of a digital payment strategy for any bank, especially a community bank. One of the things that we've been doing is building out guides and tools to help our banks develop their strategies. So in 2019, we launched a consumer strategy tool that our banks can go in and interactively enter information about their bank, about the products and services they offer, and it will tell them where they are in their payment maturity model compared to other banks so that they know the areas that they need to focus on to close that gap. So there's four levels of the maturity model. Community banks are generally falling in the 2 to 3, but with some quick hits, they can quickly move up the continuum. In 2020, we are building the same solutions for small business, so our community banks will be able to go in, answer questions about their small business, product offerings, services, customers, and again, determine where they are in the maturity model of a payment strategy for small business, and then be able to expand on that and improve their maturity in the payment space.
Sure. Now, for this resource, is there a particular URL or any place that we could send our audience to if they're curious to learn more?
There are some new executive briefs that we have published on our website around digital strategy and payment strategy that are available to the public. However, the tool and the guide are only available to ICBA member banks.
Excellent. All right. Well, thank you, Peter and Tina, for joining me on today's episode and talking about mobile wallets for community banks. And I hope to have you both back on the podcast real soon.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ryan. Have a good day, everyone.